B-Pod Studios.
We're joined by our good friend, Mr. Ron Jaworski, who joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Good morning, Jaws.
Mark, Bob, great to be with you guys once again on a rainy Friday morning.
Yeah, so next couple
no
of,
golf today.
Next couple of days.
No golf today.
Next couple of days. Fine golf days, right?
Saturday and Sunday's perfect.
There we go.
Actually, Saturday, Sunday, and I'll throw in Monday, guys, because I have my annual celebrity tournament down at Blue Heron Pines and got a sold out field again, and we raised money for the Jaws Use Playbook, which helps at risk kids in our community. So Monday's a big day for a golf tournament.
The day never stops for you, my friend. That's great, man. Appreciate it.
That's why I like it. Thanks.
you keep the good vibes coming, that's for sure. Now, we're hoping that good vibes happen on Sunday against the Ravens, obviously. And one of the things I wanted to jump into with you right away was Zach Ertz's explanation for why his production hasn't been what we have come to know in years past. And he talked about it's not this, but it's like this. And he talked about bracket coverage when it comes to how teams are playing against him as a tight end for the Philadelphia Eagles. When you hear that, is it that different than what we've seen before, or is it just similar to what we've seen before?
No, I think it's pretty much identical to how they've played Zach Ertz historically. I mean, he is a very talented tight end, one of the best receiving tight ends in the National Football League. And he's been facing every scheme over the last couple of years you could possibly imagine a tight end would face. The brackets, with a safety and a linebacker, the brackets with two safeties, brackets with two linebackers, bump and run, man-to-man zone. He has seen it all. He is a terrific wide receiver. My feeling is this, and I've said this to you guys the last few weeks. I'm just not seeing the separation that I've seen in the past. So is father time catching up? I don't know, but I'm not seeing that clear separation when he runs his routes.
All right, now I'm hearing Doug Peterson talk about that timing between him and Carson Wentz. I'm hearing Carson Wentz talk about how they're staying after practice to try to get that timing back that they had in the past. I'm also hearing too many balls are thrown erratically in Zach Ertz's direction. And then you're talking about the spacing there, just getting that separation. If you had to put your finger on it, the one thing, would you go more separation than anything else?
Yes, yeah. I'm seeing the same coverage schemes I've seen historically. People have great respect for Zach Ertz. And by the way, sometimes that's a good thing that he's getting doubled. That means other people should be getting open, and that's where the ball should be going. And I know, as a quarterback, and I know how Carson's thinking, he wants to get him going. I would not be surprised in the first quarter if his ball on Sunday, you will see Carson try to get the ball to Zach Ertz and get his energy up, get the offensive energy up, and say, hey, I'm here for you, man. I'm going to get you some balls no matter what coverage they play. He wants to get him in the groove because that's going to open things up for everybody else.
Mm. Now, numbers-wise, the quarterback of the Eagles, Carson Wentz, his numbers have been improving over the last three games. They've only won one of those three games, tying the other against Cincinnati. What have you seen from Carson Wentz over the last 3 weeks to give you some encouragement that he'll get back to the quarterback we have seen him be in the past?
Travis Fulgham. I think there's a real chemistry between those two guys. And, you know, I just think back to the 49er game on the winning touchdown pass up the left sideline. A fantastic throw. I mean, there wasn't much room to squeeze that ball in there, and he got it in there. And then he moved ahead to the Pittsburgh game. You could just see the belief that Carson Wentz has in Travis Fulgham. I mean, he throws the ball with much more confidence when he is throwing him, and there's a reason for that. And I broke down Fulgham really close this week to see, you know, why this guy comes out and catches 10 balls and has a great day, and he, you know, basically came out of nowhere. Well, if you look at him, you watch how he runs his routes. He's a natural route runner. He comes out of his breaks very smooth. He's running O-cuts. He's coming back to the quarterback at the sideline. When he's running dig routes and those routes that demand that the wide receiver not drift up the field so a corner or safety can drive around, he naturally comes back to the football. He's not a drifter up the field. So Carson knows where he's going to be. That esprit de corps that is so important to the quarterback and a wide receiver is there. So clearly, he's been a great surprise to me, and I think he's got a very bright future. He's big. He's got a good catch radius. And I'll say that I'm trying to do a comparison. I remember when Mike Quick was drafted. Now, he's the Eagles Hall of Famer. And the knock on Mike was, well, he was only a 4.5, 4.40 guy. He wasn't didn't have blazing speed. Well, in all the years I played with Mike, I don't think I ever overthrew him. You know, 'cause he had that great speed, that second – gear that most players don't have. He may run 4.5 when you put a stopwatch on him. When the ball's in the air, Mike was running 4.25. And I see that in Fulgham. He just has the natural ability to accelerate.
Joe's, when you say he has such confidence in Fulgham, and it is, he made throws that looked terrific to Fulgham last week. But does that confidence carry over to other receivers, or do you get a little nervous that he's only going to focus in on one guy that he trusts?
Well, I think there's some chemistry with Greg Ward. I think we saw it at the end of last season. You know, those last four games when they started working together, I think he trusts him as well. I'm just not seeing that chemistry with all the other wide receivers at this point. And, you know, when Deshaun is in there and Alshon is in there, it's a little different. But it's just hard to develop that feel for each other when you've had the year we've kind of had with the pandemic and lack of practice and lack of preseason and lack of repetition. It's hard to develop that great chemistry.
Speaking with Ron Jaworski, of course, here. Ron, when you look at that Ravens defense, what can you exploit? I mean, they seem like they're a pretty stacked defense right now. If you're looking to exploit one weakness or the closest thing they have to a weakness, what would it be?
Well, I'm going to say, number one, you have to go in this game and you got to win first down. And the Eagles have not done well on first down. In fact, they're 31st in the league on first down rushing. It's just a tad over 3 yards per attempt. That plays right into the defense's hands. And with Baltimore, you do not want to get in that known situation, 2nd and 7, 2nd and 8, because now your playbook is scaled down. So they've got to be much more effective on first down. And, you know, Baltimore's secondary is outstanding. When you look at the guys they have there in Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey, these guys are a couple of the best in the business right now. But the key to Baltimore's team, and since you asked me about defense, I'll focus first on that. They have a great team defense. They're very disciplined. Inside, they stop the run. They're powerful. Their scheme is very good with Don Martindale, their defensive coach, who's been around an awful long time and a very creative guy. So they are just a very talented defense all around. But you must stay on schedule offensively to have success against them, because they will bring in all kinds of unique packages, and that's when they wreak havoc.
You mentioned the Steelers earlier. It seems like a very similar game in terms of good defense. You got to be able to establish a run early. You mentioned winning first down, which I think is great. So how much do you have to ask a guy like Doug Peterson to make sure that he's dialing up those run plays for a guy like Miles Sanders?
Yeah, I think here's the difference between Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Baltimore has two excellent corners. They are the couple of the best in the NFL. Pittsburgh has very weak corners, and they obviously, a guy like Fulgham exploited them. So I think that's the difference when you look at the talent on both sides when you compare Baltimore and Pittsburgh. So I'm you know, today's game is a little different than the game I've played, maybe the game I've covered for all the years. It's more wide open. You know, the balance is important. Everyone's trying for explosive plays. But I still believe if you do not have a physical element, come off the ball and knock people off the ball, you know, you're never going to be a great football team. Because there are times when you're going to have a 1-point lead with 3 minutes to go, and and everyone in the whole stadium knows you're going to run the football, and you just got to believe your offensive line, your tight ends are going to come off the ball and knock people off the ball. And I'm not seeing that physical element as part of this Eagles offense right now.
Charles, the biggest play we talked about from last week, of course, was when the touchdown to Claypool. Pittsburgh goes 5 wide, creates a mismatch, and exploits it. It seems like whenever the Eagles throw out Miles Sanders out as a wide receiver, announcers talk about there's the mismatch you want. Why don't they do it more?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think, you know, Miles Sanders is a good receiver. There has been a lack of communication with Carson and Miles. They've had a few miscues on the screen game. Carson's not been effective throwing the ball to him on some of the flat routes. They've been at his ankles, and obviously he missed him a few weeks ago on that double move, slant and go. And those are the things you just got to continue to work on and continue to work on. But it's an area where I think you could, if you get a matchup with a good running back as a wide receiver against a linebacker, you have to be able to take advantage of that.
Ron, we've been talking a lot about these wide receivers now. You mentioned Travis Fulgham. Well, there's also, let's see, now John Hightower. There's Greg Ward. You have Jalen Reagor, who's got to come back from a thumb injury. Then you also have Alshon Jeffery, and you have DeSean Jackson. And there's also that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside guy who we haven't seen anything from yet, but he's a second-round pick and might get favored because of that second-round pick status. How do you make all this work, assuming you get all these guys healthy in the next week or so?
Good luck, Doug.
Right, yeah.
It's going to be very difficult. I mean, some of these young guys have stood up and played well, And you know, when you look at, you know, Alshon, clearly he just can't stay healthy. You look at Deshaun, he clearly can't stay healthy. So you got younger guys now that have been productive, and you just can't worry about this week. You got to look at the long picture. Maybe you develop some of these young guys for a year or two down the road, when now you've got a team that's, I think, will be, you know, back in the hunt as a Super Bowl contender. They're not playing that way right now, but you just can't look at the team right now. There's got to be someone, and that should be Howie Roseman, looking at where this team is going to be next year and 2 years from now. Yeah, you want to win this week against Baltimore, but you also got to have the pulse of where you're going to be a year and 2 years from now. So you got to start getting these young players that are performing well more opportunities.
Offensive line-wise, the Eagles have allowed Carson Wentz to get hit a lot so far this season. They've had a lot of rotation on that offensive line. When you look at a guy like Driscoll coming in for Lane Johnson, if that's the case, even if it's not the start, but maybe throughout the game, how is this offensive line stacked up with so many new pieces?
Yeah, you know, I thought last week against Pittsburgh, they played very well. I give Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach, a lot of credit. You know, you got Driscoll, you got Marlotta, you got young guys playing in there right now. And they went up against a very creative Steelers defense, not only a physical team, but, man, do they give you a bunch of looks. You know, if you tried to write down and draw up every one of their defensive schemes, you'd spend the whole day doing that, because every snap they give you something different. And I thought mentally the Eagles offensive line did a really good job against that Steeler defense, and they're going to have to against this Baltimore defense as well. Now you got that big old load, Calais Campbell, inside, and when he gets his motor running, he'll just crush the pocket. So they're going to have to be once again at a very high level play. But I'll go back to what I said a moment ago. You know how you negate that pass rush? Hit in the mouth in the running game. Come off the ball and slam somebody. Don't worry about being a designer. Let's go out there and play some football.
Charles, do you see Jim Schwartz spying Lamar Jackson this weekend? And if so, with whom?
I laugh because you're going to spy. You're going to have to account for Lamar Jackson. With whom is the good question?
Yes.
we have seen this linebacking core has struggled. It's been talked about all week. You may have to do it with bringing the safety down inside. I mean, Rodney McLeod is a very good open field tackler. He's playing at a high level right now. So you may have to bring some of those, the old Malcolm Jenkins way of playing the safety, almost as an inside linebacker, not only have him cover those shallow crosses and those under routes, but also, you know, look in the backfield and peer at the quarterback and see what he's going to be doing. Lamar Jackson is the heart and soul of the Ravens offense. He was the NFL player of the year a year ago. He's not playing at that level now, but he is playing very good. And Greg Roman, their offensive coordinator, is very, very good at designing plays, at particularly running plays. So when you play against Lamar Jackson, you defend the field from end zone to end zone, because he can sling it, he can throw it, he can move. But he forces you to defend the field from sideline to sideline with all the misdirection that he does. So this is going to be a game where the Eagles' defense has to be very disciplined.
Jaws, I saw you had Dick Vermeil on with you this past Wednesday at Downingtown Country Club. How's the old coach doing?
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, when you get to spend an hour with Dick Vermeil on a radio show, you learn something. The guy's been a part of my football life since 1973. When you spend an hour with him and talk football, you get mesmerized. He's a Super Bowl winning coach. He's multiple coach of the year. He knows how to teach. He knows how to coach, and he likes people. And when you hear from Dick Vermeil and you talk to Dick Vermeil, you learn something. And that's why I say every year, when I'm doing my show, when I have the coach on the show, it's my best football show of the year.
Wow, that's awesome, man. Now, Jaws, we tried a little reverse psychology last week. You picked the Steelers. Unfortunately, it turned out to be actual psychology. What do you see, Eagles-Ravens, come Sunday?
Yeah, I was right last week in picking Pittsburgh. I hope I'm going to be wrong again this week. But you guys know I make these picks, and when I look at them, I go against the spread, and I'm 42-34 against the spread. So overall, my picks are very, very good this year.
Yeah.
Maybe I keep picking with my heart too often with the Eagles, but this week when I look at these two teams, the Baltimore is the better team, and they're going to win this one 28-24 in a very tight competitive game.
All right, well, I'll take a close game at this point, and maybe that'll give us some more hope for the following week. Jaws, always great catching up with you. Good luck. Were you Blue Heron, you said?
Yeah, we're Blue Heron. In fact, you guys will be broadcasting from down there as well, so... Or Anthony will be down there from 10 to 2. So look forward to seeing everybody down and raising some money for the kids in our community.
Bob just looked at me like, wait a minute, we're going to be somewhere and we're not going?
I'm just going to head down anyway, Jaws. I don't care.
Jaws, thanks so much, brother.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.